tonight, Revelation chapter 2. Preach on things we need to keep first. Timmy, you in here, buddy? Can you get my sermon illustration? It's in a bag in the front of the shuttle. And it's got claws and it's moving. Revelation chapter 2. How many people have got it figured out when I'm joking? How many people I still get you sometimes? Okay. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And talking about the Church of Ephesus here a little bit. I want to talk about things to keep first. And I have seven things we're supposed to keep first. Keeping the first place, keeping the priority. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Things to keep first. And so we'll go ahead and pray. And we'll talk to you about things that we keep first. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for the songs we can sing. We can sing fun camp songs and make hand motions. And we can sing grace that is greater than all our sin. And all these songs come from different angles, praising you for what a good God you are. And we give you glory and praise you. What a friend for sinners. Lord, we need your help now, and we're all just sinners, and none of us really deserve anything. But we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We pray tonight you'd speak to us, and the power of the Holy Spirit would change lives, change thinking, make us godly, help us have victory. Please, Lord, speak now in a powerful way in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a pretty good church, church at Ephesus. Jesus praises them for a whole bunch of things. He says, you're hard workers. He says, you have spiritual discernment. He says, you have borne and asked patience. And for my name's sake, you've labored and you've not fainted. They're not quitters on Jesus. He says, they have discernment. They've found those who have the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And we don't know exactly what that group is, but the word means to rule the laity. Probably an early version of Catholicism or something like that. And he says you tried those who said they're apostles and found them to be liars. He says you're a good church. You're working. You're laboring. You're doing my work. You're reaching people. You're doctrinally sound. You're not quitting in the hard times. You've born. You've given birth to spiritual babies. You've done a lot of good things. But and that's good. That's better than most churches. But he said I have somewhat against thee, There are seven churches. Two of them had nothing bad said about them. One church has nothing good said about it. But this church has mostly good and one bad thing said about it. And he says, you've left your first love. You've left your first love. In verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I think it's really obvious as you get to know this passage and see the whole rest of the Bible, what he's talking about. First of all, Jesus, whenever the problem with that church or the need of that church, he begins his passage to that church, to all seven churches, by describing himself as the answer. And so he always says, I am this. And so to one church who had no doctrinal soundness, he said, I'm the amen. To those who are dying and being martyred, he said, I am the resurrection. And so he always presented himself as the answer to their need. And so what does he call himself here to this church? He says, I am he that walks in the middle of the church. I'm he that walks in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And he tells his candlesticks the churches. He says, hey, remember me. I'm the one who walks in the middle of the church. I'm the one this is all about. He says, you have left your first love. And so the first love, I think, is very, very simple. The Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then Jesus goes through and he says, you don't love me more than your sister, brother, wife, husband, anybody. I'm your first love. It's a strange thing that we can love a bunch of good things more than we love Jesus, even though they're not bad things. I mean, some people love their kids more than they love God. Some people love their spouse more than they love God. Some people love their church more than they love God. And that's not right. It's good to love your kids, good to love your church, good to love your spouse, good to love lots of things. But however, Jesus is your first love. And as I'm walking in the middle of church and you guys are doing all the things about me, but you got about me. It's about me. And you've left your first love. And so he says, repent and do the first works. And you've got to get your priorities right. There are things that are supposed to be number one. I find my life is constant prioritizing. And I find it is wise to have every priority understood in your mind. For example, in your own family, you ought to have your priorities. Your kids are important, and your kids are more important than anybody else's kids. My kids are more important than anybody in the church and the whole ministry here. But my wife is more important than my kids. Because that's God's priority. She was there before the kids. Now, most people say the kids are just the most important priority. They're not. God says a husband and wife are each other's priorities. And but my kids are my priority above what I want to do and above the other people and above other things. Some people, they prioritize the ministry above their family, and it destroys their family. And you've got to realize there's a bunch of priorities in life. You got to put the number one thing there. But my wife is not more important to me than Jesus. If my wife says, I'm not going to serve Jesus anymore, come with me, I'm going to say, see you later, Eve, and be heartbroken. My wife, thank God I got a wonderful, godly wife. I don't have to worry about that. But I love my wife, but she knows my priority even above her is God. That does not mean, man, yeah, that's right, me too. I don't prioritize my wife either. No, 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 no. That's what you want me to say. That's right. Honey, pastor said, you're not my number one priority, so get out of the way. I'm watching the game. That's not what I said. We know that football and your spouse are pretty close. No, no, their spouse is way above football. And your kids are more important than football as the season comes along. And church is more important than football. So the Seahawks are playing, and Seahawks are playing 5:10 a.m. games this year. Oh, it's so wicked. It's terrible. And they're going to be in the Super Bowl on Sunday night. What is funny about that? And you know what? We got to decide football is not more important than going to church. You got to have priorities in life. The right thing's got to be number one in your life. I find in my finances, I have to prioritize my finances. The number one thing in my finances is tithing. The Bible says that's God's money. I don't pay my mortgage and then pay my food and then pay this and then say, if I got money left over, I'll give it to God. God says it's the first fruits of all your increase. So my first priority in my finances is tithing. And then secondly, I start going down the list and there is debts and there is obligations and there's all kinds of bills. And I prioritize those things. And by the way, my last priority is my food and clothing. Because God promises to provide those for me. So I just figure I'll pay all the rest of my bills, and God, you got to pay the rest. And God does it. And God takes care of it. As you can see, I am not starving by any means. And because God's good. And God provides it. So you got to know what's number one. And so God gives a bunch of first things. And he says, first of all, I'm supposed to be your first love. I'm supposed to be your first love. Let me take you to Matthew 22. And he says this very specifically. Your first love of your life is Jesus. The first love of your life is the Lord. And by the way, I want to say this. If you love Jesus first, you'll get all of your other loves even better. You'll love your spouse more if you love Jesus first. You love your kids more if you love Jesus first. And don't make them an idol. In Matthew 22 and verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love the Lord, love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. This is the first and greatest commandment. You've left your first love. What did they do? They were doing everything about God. They were in churchianity, is what I call it. You're into the religious stuff. You're in church. You're doing the things of God. You're doing the ministry. But it's not all about Jesus. It's not for him. It's not doing it in love with him. It's a service, and we like singing, and we harmonize, and we sing, and we get into music, and we forget we're supposed to be singing it to God. It's not about the church, and it's not about the preacher, and it's not about you getting blessed. It's about Jesus. And he is our first love. And this good church had this problem. They had left their first love. And Jesus says, you better repent quickly or I will come and remove that candlestick out of its place. You will no longer be a church. Because, and the advantage of being a church is incredible. There's a whole bunch of promises for a church. You are a light for God. You have Jesus dwelling in the midst of you and you gather together in a whole bunch of promises if you're a church. And you've got to get back your first love. And the first love is the Lord. It's not even sinners. And we're supposed to love sinners. It's not necessarily people in our church. We're supposed to love them. It's not our family. We're supposed to love them. But your first love, they've left their first love. They got into the ritual. They got into the tradition. They got into the things they always do. And they forgot who it was all about. And boy, that's easy to do in life. You get running around and doing your things and doing all the things. You get so busy living for God, you forget about God. It's a person. It's not a religion. And they left their first love, and Jesus Christ is our first love. So you're supposed to always keep Jesus as your first love. You say, but I love my spouse so much. Awesome. Love him as much as you can possibly love, but keep your first love and love him even more. And have that kind of love, and that's good. When I started the church, I became really, 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 really busy. I was working a full-time job. I was working graveyard. I punched in at 10 o'clock at night, worked until 6 to 8 in the morning, depending on what day it was. And I worked 40-plus hours a week. And I had a family with three babies and a fourth one on the way. And I had a church to start, and I was door knocking 5-6 days a week. I was knocking on doors, trying to get the church started, studying, getting everything ready for church. We had to unload and load everything for the church every week. All the family time and everything else, I had a million things to do. And it was just too much. And I knew it was too much. We had no help in the church for anything we needed to do. And I realized that I was in real trouble. And I realized I was under such a demonic attack, and I had so much to do, and I had so many things, and I realized I am in real trouble here, and I'm not going to get everything done. So I just went into survival mode, and I said, I have to get certain things done right. In life, I want to tell you something about life. In life, the things that are the most important are not squeaky. And the things that are unimportant are squeaky. Unimportant things scream for your time. And important things stay silent. You've got to personally decide to prioritize. Your Bible will never scream to you to be read, but your email will scream to you to be checked. Is that true? The person in your life you need to spend time with the most oftentimes will just sit there and be sad because you won't spend time with them because they're a noble person. Ignoble people will scream for your time. Time wasters will demand you spend time with them and tell them you're terrible because you don't spend time with them. And put you in a guilt trip. That's life. And you'll find in life the greatest and most important things will not scream for your time. You must force time for those things. And unimportant things will scream they have to be done, and you will think you have to do them. Well, I said, I've got to prioritize my life, and here's my priorities. I wrote down my priorities. I decided what they were. I said, number one, my priority is my walk with God. That's my priority. Number two is my family. Number three was my sermon preparation. That's my job. Number four went down to a ministry and all the other ministry work. And then my job and paying bills and finance, all that other stuff. And I just prioritized my life. And I started here and I spent time with God every day. I was busy. Oh, I'm too busy to really spend time with your Bible. Oh, brother, you're not too busy to spend time with God. You got to force time with God if you want time with God. You have time. You watch 1 second of TV or listen to 1 minute of radio or spend 1 minute on the internet or 1 minute on video games. You cannot say you're too busy to spend time with God. I did not believe that. When I was in college and I was on schedule 115 hours per week without including sleep or eat, I had time to spend with God. Okay? If you say, I don't have time to spend with God today. If you spent 1 hour with God, you would get a free mansion with $1 million in it given to you. Would you have time for God that day? Yes, you'd push things out of the way. You'd find out that on Farmville, you don't have to plant your asparagus today. And you'd find out that Facebook will survive without you for a day. And you'd find that you don't have to go do your little pet project. You don't have to go and check your smartphone. And you don't have to do a bunch of junk, your favorite show. You just find out you had time for God. And so I set that up, and I started spending time with God. Then I spent time with my family, and I felt sorry for my family. My time was not the best time. I tried to give it to them, but when you're tired, it's hard. Okay, kids, let's all play house, and Daddy's gonna pretend like he's sleeping. But you try to spend time with them, and you give them your best, and you spend time. And then I spent time sermon preparation, and nobody was coming to church. But my family needed fed, so I prepared a sermon and did all that. And then eventually I got to the end, I got to my time, and I did everything I was supposed to do, and guess what? I didn't get everything done. A bunch of things didn't get done. Didn't take a shower for 3 years. And you knew that, didn't you? That actually stopped years ago. There's a lot of things that didn't get done. But because I put the first things first. And I didn't do it perfectly, and I never do anything perfectly. I always mess something up. But you know what? I'm in the ministry today because I kept the right things a priority. And I think that's important. So what are we supposed to do? First of all, keep your first love. We see that. Secondly, we see, let me take you back to Revelation 2. He says you're supposed to do something here, and it's another first here. We're supposed to keep our first love. You love the Lord, and he's the priority of your life. Not your career, not your college education, not your whatever, nothing. The Lord's your priority. You've left your first love. And then he says, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Now he tells to do something and the first works. Well, I think I know what the first works are. Pretty simple here. Look at the context of the whole passage. First works, and I'm going to illustrate this to you in a sec, but the first works are loving God and loving your neighbor. You've got to repent and do these things. You've left your first love, therefore go back and do the first works. Okay? He's saying that doing the first works will fix this problem you have with me, which is you left your first love. It's very simple. The first commandment is love the Lord your God. That's the first work. And love your neighbor as yourself. You're supposed to go prioritize and go and work on that first and loving them. So we see that. It's do not love anything more than God and begin to do that. Why? Because love is the fulfilling of the law. Let me take you to John chapter 14. See, if you do the first works, and this is one of the most important truths of the entire Christian life that very few people understand. If you do the first works, which is the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. If you do that, those first works, the rest of the commandments fall into place. Those are the first commandments. It's like loving my kids, loving my wife. If I love my wife, I'll do all the things I should for her. If I don't love her and just do those deeds, it's not going to be with my heart and she's not going to appreciate it as much, but I'm not going to do as much if I don't love her. If I focus on loving her, I will want to be a blessing to her. And when you fall in love with God, you keep the rest of the commandments. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Go forward in John 14 and 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. If you keep his commandments, because you love him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He doesn't say, keep my commandments, and I'll be happy. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wants the love. The commandments are the result of it. I love my wife, so I give her a credit card to send her to the mall. If you love somebody, you do something for them. I don't do that, do I? I love her, so I want to keep us in a home, so I don't do that. We realize that this love is the first thing. Because you love, you do these good things. He says, who is he that loveth me, that he that keepeth my commandments? If a man love me, he will keep my words. The first works are going, getting back to loving God. Loving the first and greatest commandment. And now let's turn to Matthew 22 again, because the important phrase here that I've illustrated a couple times over the years, and it's an important phrase, and we'll illustrate it to you. First, Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. This is the first and great commandment. It's the first commandment you're supposed to do, right? Okay. The second is like it, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Now look at verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Every command, all the law hangs on loving the Lord. That's why it's the first works. All right, let me illustrate this to you. Here we go. We got a couple of things here. Let me untangle it here. These are hangers. And on this one is love the Lord. Okay? Here's another hanger. And this one is love your neighbor as yourself. All right? Jeremy, come on up here and hold these two guys for me. Okay? Turn toward them. All right. So here's Jeremy. He's got these two things, and all the commandments hang on loving the Lord or loving your neighbor. If I get these right, all the commandments hang on these. Okay? If you look at the Ten Commandments are broken down, the first four and then the last six. First four are you with God. The last six are you with man. For example, it doesn't say don't covet God. It says don't covet your neighbor's stuff. It says, but worship the Lord your God and don't bow down to anything else. That's God. And so, whether I'm going to be good and whether I'm going to keep the commandments is based on whether I love the Lord. And if I love the Lord, I'm going to keep the commandments, because the entire commandments and prophet hang on those two commandments. So if I do the first works, and that's this here, this is his hand right here. This here is the first commandment. He is holding the commandments right now. He's holding them. And so this is his love for God right here. Either one, love for the Lord, love for his neighbor. This love is right there. That's holding that up, okay? Everything else is going to hang on his love for God. Whether you do these things hangs on whether you love God or love your neighbor. So I pull out a commandment here, and my commandment is not worshiping idols. Okay? That's the command. It's going to hang on some. What's it going to hang on? Loving the Lord. And so, whether I worship other idols is going to hang on whether I love the Lord. So, right there. So, if I don't love the Lord only, then I'm going to have a problem not worshiping idols. So, here's another commandment. We reach in the bag on on this hangs all the law and commandments. Okay? Not coveting. What's that hanging on? Your neighbor. Now, understand, every commandment can hang on loving God, because God tells us not to do it. And if you love the Lord, even if you don't love your neighbor, you'll obey God. Sometimes we don't even like our neighbor, but we obey God because he says to. So it's going to hang on me not coveting and want his thing. All right, let's see. Do not murder. What's that hang on? Love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, are you going to murder him? If he's saved, you can go to heaven sooner. But I mean, if you love your neighbor, do you murder him? No. So it hangs on whether you love your neighbor. And so on this commandment, it's hanging on. Now, if I don't love my neighbor, I might do that. So here's his hanging. Here's his strength. Now, it all depends on how much he loves God and how much he loves his neighbor. I love him if somebody says, I killed my wife and I killed her and buried her, but I really did it because I loved her. You ever hear those dumb things? These dumb things they say, oh, I love this person. And it's crazy. If you love somebody, do them good. If you love the Lord, you do what he says. Just these things are all crazy. Witnessing. That's a good one there. Why do you go witnessing? Now, that can depend. But you better either do it because you love God. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I went soul winning where I really wasn't doing it because I love people. I was just being obedient because I love God. There's sometimes my burden is stronger. There's sometimes my heart's broken for souls, and it's because I love my neighbor. I don't want them to go to hell. But sometimes I do it just because I love God. Sometimes I don't want to at all. Sometimes I witness to somebody who I really am angry at, and I really, you know, I don't really have a heart for them. But mostly it's love your neighbor. But God tells you to, and so it can be either one. And by the way, if it hangs on both, you're likely to do it. If you do it because you love your neighbor and because you love God. And so we go through all these commandments. How about this one? Thou shalt not steal. Your neighbor. So it goes on that, and if he loves his neighbor, he won't steal. And you get the idea. So how about this one? No bad music. Sing to yourselves in psalms and hear hymns and spiritual songs, singing to make a melody of your heart to the Lord. What does that depend on? Love the Lord. Because God gave you music to worship him, and you're using that music for your flesh. And you say, you know what, Lord, I love you, and I want to go ahead and worship you with my song. And you know what, I love you, Lord, and I'm going to sing to you. And so you give God your music, and so it hangs on whether you love the Lord. And you say, well, I just like that kind of music, and that's just my favorite, and I just like that. No, you don't love the Lord enough. That's what it is. And so it hangs on there. And so because we love the Lord, we say we're going to listen to the right kind of music. And so we say we love the Lord. So all the commandments hang on whether we love the Lord. So what are the first works? Fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with your neighbor. Why? Because you'll do everything else. You won't steal. You won't kill. You won't covet. You won't listen to bad music. You won't drink, smoke, and chew and run with those who do. You'll do the right thing. You'll go to church. Why do you go to church? Because you love the Lord. But you also might do it because you know if you don't go to church, someone else who's watching you, some other brother and sister will be discouraged because you didn't go. And you might do it to be encouraged. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Depends on your prayer life. Some people pray just because they love being with Jesus. And because God wants them to do it, and they do it. Some people pray because they have a broken heart for something. Amen. And it just depends. And so if you love God and love your neighbor, you will have a double strength there. But if you don't love the Lord, and your love for God is very, very weak, and all these commandments have to hang on it, and you're going, I don't love my neighbor very much. You don't keep the commandment, because you've got to do the first works, which is love the Lord. On all these, on loving your neighbor and loving the Lord, hang the commandments. So whether you do that... whether you do that, and it's based on whether you love God. Okay, put that in there, Jeremy. So do the first works, which is focus on loving the Lord. You say, I just can't overcome my sin. Fall in love with Jesus. You'll love him so much that you'll want to give it up. I can go in a marriage counseling session and try my hardest to get them not to fight and this and that, but if they don't like each other and they don't love each other, it's just... You know, you're knocking back the Pacific Ocean with a pitchfork. I mean, you're not going to be able to do it. You got to get love there. And where love is, who is he that loveth me? He that keeps my commandments. I love God. I just don't want to do that. Okay, God says you don't. Who is he that loveth me? That he that keepeth my commandments. You do not love the Lord who died for you enough. Or you do not love your neighbor enough. So what do? You focus, and this as a young Christian is what I did. I focused. I realized this. I said, God, I am not strong enough, but I'm gonna love you, and I want to do right. And I really asked God for help because I really wanted to. And I fell in love with the Lord and fell in love with people, and my life really started changing when you do the first works, which is love people. So we see that. Number one, the thing to keep first is love, and keep the Lord your first love, and then do the first works, which is what Jesus said there. Hey, go back and do the first works. First works, first and greatest commandment, love the Lord. Go back to love and get your love right. Next, what things are we supposed to do? First things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray in church. Here's the list of first things, and we'll just go through them quickly here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. What first things are we supposed to do? 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. I exhort thee therefore that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. First thing that Paul tells Timothy as he's writing these pastoral epistles is the first thing is make sure the church is praying. That's the first thing. And we're trying to turn it to a church of prayer. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We're learning to pray. And that's the first of all, he says, in the church. Prayers in church. And that's so important. Next, what's another first we're supposed to have? We're supposed to understand the first principles of the Bible. Let me take you to Hebrews. This is an important thing because there's a mistake being made here, and I think we can make the same mistake. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Understand the first principles of the Bible. Can I say this? before you go forward in the Bible and in knowledge, the first thing you're supposed to do is grasp the beginning things. If you do not have the meat, do not try to go forward and understand. If you don't have the milk, do not go forward and try to understand the meat. Start off and grasp the truths. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and it becomes such as have need of milk and strong meat. How many times, and I've been stubborn about this in a good way, how many times through the years has someone wanted the ministry, someone wanted to be a leader, someone wanted to have a job, and yet the real basic things they were given, read your Bible, pray, love your neighbor, the basic doctrines, they don't do the basic things they already know, and they want to be given more responsibility. That's not God's pattern. If you're not faithful in the least, you're not being faithful in much. And he says, I would love to teach you guys some deep things, but you have not gotten the basic doctrines of the Bible. Somebody must teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God. You need to understand prayer. You need to understand God being your Father. You need to understand the Trinity. And boy, there's a lot of Christians with just enough knowledge out there to be dangerous, away from God, living unholy lives, and they have enough knowledge to think that they don't need to be taught the basics and get back the basics. They just want to learn about revelation and advanced things and how God can really use them. How about you learn to pray again? Well, I know all about prayer. Are you praying? Well, no, but I know all about it. Well, let's go there again then. If you don't get the first things down, hey, let's get addition before we get trigonometry. You want to go ahead and go way ahead of God, you've got to go and get the basics of the Bible done. That's why we do discipleship. If somebody comes to our church, even if they got some knowledge, you want them to go through our discipleship program. We just do. Because a lot of times, here's what I find, they have some pretty good knowledge and some advanced knowledge in a few areas, but there's big gaps in important fundamentals. And if you do not understand how to pray to the Father, you're missing part of prayer. You might pray a lot. You might pray for an hour a day, and you pray to Jesus. You don't understand that God wants you to understand the Father-Son relationship, and that's how he tells you to pray. We were talking to Jehovah's Witness one time. He says, how can you talk to God impersonally? It's like me calling you man when you call him God. And I say, I pray to the Father. He says, you should call him Jehovah. I said, Jesus told me to call him Father. I'll trust him. And he says, I never thought of that. So that's why you read your Bible, not the Watchtower. Listen, there are things, just basic doctrines you've got to understand. And if you do not do the basic doctrines and grasp them and live them, then you do not need the advanced things. You become mutated spiritually. What do you mean by that? I mean, it's almost like, you know, you ever see those countries where they put these little tiny shoes on ladies so their feet stay this big? Or they put 25 necklaces on there and their neck gets really long? You in the Christian life have these basic things that God wanted you to get that are the fundamentals, the foundation of your house, of your spiritual house, and you do not get those things. You keep on wanting to avoid them because you don't want to have a prayer life. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to really go to church faithfully. And you try to go around God's way and around the basics. And God said, and he said, you know, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. Get the basics down in the Christian life. Learn how to love. Learn how to be kind. Learn how to love your neighbor. Learn how to love the Lord. Learn what prayer means. Learn how to read the Bible every day. Just get the basics down. Go to church every Sunday. It's amazing how many people think they're going to go do something. I want to go in the ministry. How about you go to church every Sunday? Start with that. We'll see if God can use the ministry someday. But first, you should go to church every Sunday and read your Bible and pray every day. Start with that. And we'll start you soul winning. You know what? I just want to preach. They just do the things God says to do real simple. Just get the first oracles. Understand the first principles. Love, mercy, salvation, holiness, prayer, things like that. Next, another first we should have. First, count the cost of serving the Lord. That's the first thing you're supposed to do when you decide if you're going to serve him. Luke chapter 14. First, count the cost of serving the Lord. And watch how many times he uses the first thing here in that. Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost. By the way, let me go back. I want to hurry, but I want to get back to that last point. I've had droves of people who are Christians in the area here who were saved, had a good heart, came to our church, and they were maybe even a leader in the other church, but their life's a wreck. And they say, you know what? I want to do something for God. Can you help me out? Can you help me get back on my feet spiritually? I say, sure, we can do that. And I sit down with them with a Bible reading program and a prayer list, and I say, I want you to do three things. I want you to read your Bible every day. I want you to have a prayer life, and I want you to come to church every Sunday. And out of those people who say they want to get all that fixed, you'd be shocked at how many will not do that. They just want the pill. Here, take this pill. You'll be spiritual, and God will use you, and you'll be the next Billy Graham. And that's what they want. Instead of saying, you know what? You need to do the fundamental things good. That's what you need to do. And so that's what I'm always going to do to people. That's what I've always done to people. We're going to make sure you do the basics right. Okay? You don't need to figure out what to buy your wife for Valentine's Day to make her like you. How about you just love her first? Just start with the real basic things and get good at those. And then build on that. First, count the cost of serving God. Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he have laid the foundation and he be not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. Or what man going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him at 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, sendeth an ambassage and desireth condition to peace. Jesus said, first, count the cost. Understand that serving the Lord costs a price. Many people never get far in the Christian life because they didn't come in and count the cost. Then they go in and find out it costs them, and they say, I'm out of here. I thought this is just blessing and prosperity. No, it's a cost. Decide if you want to finish serving Jesus no matter what the cost. And it might cost you anything. And so first, he says, count the cost. Another first, clean the inside before you clean the outside. Matthew 23. First, clean the inside before you clean the outside. We got two more. First, clean the inside before we clean the outside. There's some first things we need to get. Amen? We need to understand the first things that God says, this is the first thing to do. This is your first priority. Do it God's way in God's order, and you'll be very happy. It works really good. The Lord really blesses when you do this. First, clean the outside, or the inside, before you clean the outside. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite, for ye are likened unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Can I tell you something that will surprise you about Open Door? And you've been here for a while, you understand this. But if you don't know this church very well, you'll understand this. Everyone thinks that we want the outside cleaned. We're worried about your smoking. We're worried about your drugs. We're worried about your cussing. Listen, we don't want those things, okay? However, that's not the focus. If you get the inside right, the outside cleans up. That's what Jesus just said. If you get full of love for God, get full of cleanness, fill your life with good, repent, love the Lord, walk with God, come to church faithfully, you just get your inside right. You get pure with God. You be honest with God. You confess your sins. You get to walk with God going. You get the inside right. Those outside things clean up. But if you get the outside things all cleaned up and you're still full of wickedness inside, let's say you know how to act churchy and you know how to carry your Bible and you know how not to cuss around people and you know how and you don't do drugs or anything else, but you're full of anger and bitterness in the inside. You're full of lust. You're full of pride. Guess what? That inside that's dirty, God sees it. And the outside will eventually be dirty. We worry about so many outside sins. People do. They worry so much about their outside sins. Clean your inside. How about the bitterness? How about the lust? How about the pride? How about the family who comes to church and acts like they're all nice? They pull in the parking lot and they've been swinging at each other the whole way, and all of a sudden they come to the church, get out of the car, and say, "God bless you, brother." Just go ahead and fight in church, punch each other and everything. Make it real. No, don't do that, please. But you know what? You need to have it right in the inside. Don't worry about impressing man. Worry about impressing God. Get your inside right. Did you know when you get right with God on the inside and you start dealing with things and really talking to God about what's going on inside, you know eventually that inside gets fixed, and pretty soon you say, "Where'd all those sins on my outside go?" But you know, if you don't get the inside clean, the stains just reappear. First, clean that which is inside. That's the first thing God says to do. Next, the last one we'll do, first thing you should do is seek God's kingdom first. And this is a well-known verse, Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's sing that for a sec. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I just tell you, God says it real simple. If you seek my kingdom first, I will take care of all of the things you need. You say, "No, I've got to pay my bills. I've got to take care of this and this and this and this, and I've got to go work on Sunday, and I've got to do this." How about you seek God's kingdom first, and he adds all the things you need to you? It's your choice whether you want to stress out and try to do it all yourself and put God in the back burner and you take care of everything. By the way, how's that working for you? Never forget one day, I had a guy pray during the offering. And I don't count the offering. I don't see the offering. I don't know who gives what. But one day I just had one of the guys in the church, this is 13 years ago. Nobody here was here then. And I asked this guy, "Can you pray for the offering?" And he came to me a week later and he said, "You know what? I was very offensive. You know I don't tithe." And I said, "Well, I didn't before, but now I do." And he said, "But you have to understand, I cannot pay my phone bill. And so if I tithe, I wouldn't be able to pay my phone bill. And I've got to get calls to get work. And if my phone's not connected, then if I pay my tithe, my phone wouldn't be connected. And I couldn't pay my phone bill. And I wouldn't be able to get calls for work, da-da-da-da-da." And I said to him what I've said to 50 people before. I said, "You know, people who don't tithe have those decisions." See, when you don't tithe, you do not have money to tithe because your finances are a wreck because God's not blessing you. When you put God first, you'll say, "But I'm not, I figured it out. I will not have money to pay my power bill." And guess what? You tithe and all of a sudden you got overtime. There's your power bill. See, you seek God's kingdom first. You say, "You've got to work on Sunday nowadays. Everybody works on Sunday. I don't." I do, actually, don't I? And I got to get this right. I'm not showing up next Sunday. But, you know, I got a big family, 7 kids. It costs a lot of money to take care of 7 kids. Been married 21 years, never worked a Sunday. Worked one Sunday night. We weren't married yet. I worked one Sunday night. Shouldn't have. The boss said it was an emergency. I worked Sunday night. I crashed the vehicle. It's the one time I worked. Why? I put God first and just say, "Lord, you have to take care of me." And he does. But you put God first. What if just seek God's kingdom first? He says, "If you seek my kingdom first, all these things will be added unto you." And I want you to understand, I don't meet my needs. My job doesn't meet my needs. God does. I just work for Jesus. And you should work for Jesus. And let him meet your needs by seeking his kingdom first. He'll take care of you. He promises that. You just got to put your priorities right. If you put number one as number one, God blesses. Amen. And if you don't, the rest of your life is playing catch up and fixing messes and putting out fires. So keep the first things first. Put God first, love Him first, the commandments will all take care of themselves. Get the inside right, the outside will get right. Seek God's kingdom first, your finances will be fine. See, when you put God number one, when you put the first thing first, everything else comes together. But when you put God as your back burner, if you got time for, then you struggle. First things first. Put the first things first. Let's pray. Father, I pray we'd understand that we need to love you first. Ephesus needed to get back their first love and keep the first commandments and do the first works. And we need to seek your kingdom first. You said, why do you worry? Just seek my kingdom first. We need to give the first oracles, the principles of God first. We need to understand your doctrine to get the first ones right. Lord, there's some firsts in the Bible we need to do. We need to count the cost first before we start serving you. Or we're going to start serving you and not serve you because the cost was too high. You tell us what to do first, and I pray we'd do that. I pray, first of all, Lord, we'd love you first. And love our neighbor, which is a second commandment. And do those first works so the rest of the commandments would fall together. Lord, help us to live a life of putting you first. Help us live a life of loving you first. Help us live a life of seeking your kingdom first. Whatever else you might have spoke to us about, help us to do the first things first. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Christian.